That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, a quick note about ads from us, your hosts. We are picky about our advertisers and all of our partners or brands or products that we either use ourselves or that we think our audience would benefit from knowing about. Working with advertisers is what allows us to make this show, and they keep working with us because you, our listeners, use the unique links and codes they provide. It's one of the most meaningful ways to support what we do. So thanks for that. We're really, really grateful. If you're ever looking for a specific code, head to athingortwohq.com/sponsors and you'll find them all. Okay, here's the show.
Welcome to A Thing or Two, a deep dive into stuff we think more people should know about. I'm Claire Mazur.
And I'm Erica Cerullo. To share your thoughts on this episode or anything really, leave us a voicemail at 833-632-5463 or DM us on Instagram at athingortwohq.
And join our Geneva.
Love it.
We're starting on a somber note.
We're starting on a somber note. You know what I mean? It felt better to start on a somber note than to
end on a somber note.
Yeah. So, friends, my bunny Ash died recently, and it's very sad.
It is.
But the less sad part is that she was 9 and lived a very full bunny life.
She was great.
And she was an elder rabbit. And the thing that
she brought a lot of joy to a lot of people, including a lot of children.
She was really nice to children.
She was really good with children. She was an ideal bunny, I think. Like, she's the type of bunny you want when you imagine having a bunny pet.
She liked children more than she liked adults, for sure. But what I wanted to talk about was the fact that my thingy related to this is a good vet, specifically her vet, but like a good vet in general, because when we were going through this process and, you know, she had to be put down and it was really hard and sad, and it was just, it felt so helpful, meaningful, useful, like all of the things, to have a vet that we really loved and trusted and that knew her and that, like,
and that you had a long running relationship with.
Yeah, exactly. So I wasn't planning on talking about this, but what brought it up was that we got a condolence card from the vets yesterday.
Wow.
And I imagine a lot of vets do this.
Had you ever gotten a condolence card from a vet before?
No, because I haven't had a vet relationship like this before.
Okay.
You know, that they were Ash's vet for Ash's entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so it was the notes written by both of the vets at Catnip and Carrots, which was her vet.
I'm interested in the stationery that it was sent on.
It's an excellent question, Claire. I'm going to show you
what
this card looked like, because I want just to be able to get your reaction live.
Okay.
This was the card. It looks like her.
It's not her?
No, it's not
Wait,
her.
I thought that they commissioned an illustration of her.
No, it's a black lop-eared rabbit.
Are you sure it's not her?
Well, that seems unlikely.
Like, do you think that they chose this because it looks like
her?
Yes,
yes. I think they probably have a selection of rabbit and cat cards because they see primarily cats and rabbits. And they were like, this looks like Ash. We should send this one.
Now that you, I don't want to derail, but now that you've said that they see primarily cats and rabbits, could you tell everybody the name of the vet or no?
Oh, yeah. No, I want to talk about Catnip and Carrots.
Should we stay on the condolence card for a moment? Because the other thing, and I, you know, I'll let you share this how you'd like, but I was sort of imagining that because they're a vet and because they serve cats and bunnies.
Primarily. Sometimes rats and guinea pigs.
Okay. All classes of animals that have lives that are typically shorter than that of their human owners.
Yes.
Right? So condolence cards, if you're sending them, are like a, must be a routine practice
for
a veterinarian. So I was imagining branded condolence cards, right? Almost
like a catnip and carrots, like postcard.
Yes, exactly. No, this is, as you pointed out, just a card. It seems like they chose specifically because it looks like ash. And then long notes, handwritten from each of them. Not just a, we're sorry your pet died, love catnips and carrots, and then
two signatures.
And then two signatures, you could have forgiven.
No. There are notes. There are notes. I know you want to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
What you need to know is that Catnip and Carrots in Jericho Turnpike is Dr. Saver, Dr. Jennifer Saver. I am, in a word, obsessed with her. She is amazing. The line you need to know from
Ashes. These people are so good at condolence cards, too. I'm like,
do you want to read both of them just for?
Yes. Yeah. You know how every time you have to write a condolence card, you've never done it before and you're like, I have no idea what to say?
Friends, Dr. Erica Campbell and Dr. Jennifer Saver know how to do it.
Can I read them?
Yes. So Dr. Campbell knows Ash less well than Dr. Saver
and
does.
And still did a beautiful job on this. Okay. Dear Ms. Cerullo and Mr. Hauner, my sincerest condolences on the loss of Ash. She was a beautiful bun who will certainly be missed. Cherish the memories you shared. With sympathy, Erica Campbell. That last line, cherish the memories you shared.
Incredible. Beautiful.
All right. Now for Dr. Jennifer Saver. Dear Ms. Cerullo and Mr. Hauner, Ash was a spunky, beautiful girl who was a beloved member of your family. I might have said our. She never let adversity get in her way. You were fortunate to have shared as many years together. Many condolences on her loss. Sincerely, Jennifer Saver. Beautifully done.
I was like, she never let adversity get in her way.
Is incredible.
Is absolutely incredible and absolutely true. Anyway, I love catnip and carrots. It's an hour's drive. I every time happily do it. A good vet is worth an hour's drive, I feel like, is my learning. Also, I can't confirm that this is Amy Sedaris's vet because HIPAA or something. I don't know.
Also, because you just haven't asked.
I haven't asked. I don't know who Tina the Bunny goes to for sure. But what I do know is that Amy Sedaris likes and comments on like all of Catnip and Carrot's posts, including Dr. Saver's birthday post, to which she responded, happy birthday, Capricorn woman. I love you, with five hearts.
It's really incredible. For those who don't know, and I only know this through Erica, Amy Sedaris is a huge bunny fan, a bunny person. She's a big bunny person.
Yeah, she's a bunny person, I think. Yeah, exactly.
It's a big part of her personality.
Yes.
I trust, based on this comment, that if Catnip and Carrots is not Amy's vet now, they have been at some point.
It's definitely an endorsement.
Yeah.
The I love you piece of it, perhaps.
It's like my relationship with Nancy Myers.
Totally. Totally.
I was really charmed by something I saw on the internet the other day. I was on Grossi Pelosi's website. Grossi Pelosi is Dan Pelosi. He is a food influencer. He himself is nothing if not charming. And he has a section of his website called The Grossi Universe. And it is basically pictures of all of the people who show up regularly, who feature regularly on his Instagram account, and explanations of who they are and how they inform his work and life. And I was like, why do we not all have this?
Well, because also there's so much talk of the blank cinematic universe, right? Mm-hmm. But no one's diagramming the blank cinematic universe. Do the work. Show your work.
It's so wonderful and beautiful and an acknowledgement of this odd thing that happens on social media where we just share our lives, but
decontextualized.
Completely devoid of any context. And you always, there's that funny tweet that gets circulated constantly that is, it's basically referencing the fact that like people will be very public with their romantic relationships on Instagram and then all of a sudden it just stops. And the tweet is basically being like, that's fucked up. We've been along for the ride. Like, we deserve an explanation and like you owe it to us, which I don't disagree with.
And, you don't say.
Yeah. And this felt like a further sort of confirmation of what the social media social contract should look like, which is that if I'm going to put all this in front of you, I also owe you an explanation.
Yes.
I owe you some context. And just what a dream not to have to like intuit or feel like you missed something in the broader story and ensemble cast of a person's life.
The ensemble cast.
I just really appreciated that. I think all of the influencers should do this. I was wondering who would be in the ATOT universe rundown. Here's who I came up with that feel like they get mentioned regularly enough that they need an explanation. How about this? I'll list the people that I think need and to I'll be say in our who universe. They are. You provide the cinematic universe. Provide the explanation.
I'll try.
Okay. Thomas and Chris and Cam.
Two husbands and a son.
That's right. This is, I think, funny but true. Ben Michaelis.
Oh, for sure, for sure. We talk about Ben all the time. Ben is our management coach, which means he's like kind of the closest thing we have to authority as people without bosses.
Wow. I was going to say, I owe my explanation of him as always said he's one third marriage counselor, one third therapist, and one third management coach.
All true. Yeah. But I also think there aren't very many figures of authority in our lives. So,
Lauren Sherman.
Oh, a recurring podcast guest
and character in our lives. Also, one of the most ridiculous people we know.
Totally. And and premier fashion writer who writes for Puck.
She also responds to almost every single podcast episode with a voice memo. So she's sharing her opinions on the episode. So that is in part how she works.
Can't wait to hear what she says about this.
Yeah. The Fortunatos come up a lot.
Oh, totally. Totally. They are jewelry designers, twins, business partners, all around nuts.
Close friends of ours who we double date with all the time.
Yeah.
Scandal Club.
Scandal Club is our group of gals.
Started getting together to watch Scandal.
Media gals, sort of. Yeah. Yeah. Our friends, Marissa, Kayleen, Ruthie, and Amanda, who left us for LA as happens.
But was she still part of it?
Yeah.
We started to get together to watch Scandal at Kayleen's apartment and drink red wine and eat popcorn. And then we didn't even last the length of the show. Like, we dropped off by the final season.
Oh, for sure. Did anybody last the length of the show?
I don't know. Sometimes I think I should go back to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Did I miss anybody? There are obviously a lot of other people in our lives.
Oh, my gosh. Tons.
The ones who recur regularly, who for whatever reason end up working their way into this show quite a bit.
Yeah. No, I think that's...
You think we covered...
I think it's a good starter.
It's a good
starter pack.
You know what? If you guys have questions about other people we mentioned, if you need some context, you let us know. We'll revisit.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Thank you so much to Olive and June for sponsoring today's episode. So I have an RWI, regrettably worth it.
Mm.
Pedicures in the winter. Having like painted, clean, tidy toes that you feel good about in the winter. But the long-term issue I had with this was the going to a nail salon, getting the pedicure, and then what? You're walking home in the little pink flip-floppy things. And we live in New York, so it's not like you're even just getting in a car and pulling into a garage. You're getting your feet wrapped in saran wrap, which is not a pleasant experience and not regrettably worth it, just regrettable.
Yes.
The answer is the Olive and June Pedi system. This is it. This is the thing. You do it at home. It looks great. You have everything you need. It's so much less challenging than we've all made it out to be in our heads. It's great.
The Olive and June systems are so good. They have everything you need for a salon quality manicure or pedicure in one box. Olive and June has salon grade tools that are designed just for DIY, just for you doing this at home by yourself. You can customize your box with your choice of six polishes.
Olive & June's polish doesn't chip and lasts 7 days or more, and it breaks down to just $2 a manicure. Olive & June's press-ons look so real and last so long if you want to go the press-on route, and they have so many sizes so you can find the perfect fit. They are non-damaging and better than gel. Get a manicure in less than 10 minutes. The press-ons are only $10 a set. They have easy removal, and they can legitimately be removed with warm water. You change them out as much as you want or keep them on for weeks, or you can even paint them. You can paint your press-ons and take the polish off and end up with a fresh, perfect manicure. Olive & June Quick Dry dries in about a minute. You can get full coverage in 1 to 2 coats, and it's offered in over 40 cruelty-free and vegan shades. Visit oliveandjune.com/athingortwo for 20% off your first mani system. That's oliveandjune.com/athingortwo for 20% off your first mani system. Again, that's oliveandjune.com/athingortwo for 20% off your first system.
Hi, everyone. I'm Peyton Sarton, host of the Note to Self podcast. Note to Self is a space to embrace your unique qualities, get grounded, and ultimately have honest conversation. No topic is off limits. I began doing social media 7 years ago, and since then, I've started a clothing line and this podcast. Note to Self is a place where people from every stage of life can come for advice, new perspectives, and to feel a little less alone. Whether I'm recording by myself or bringing along a friend, we will explore topics ranging from relationships and mental wellness to social media and entrepreneurship. Tune in to Note to Self every week for the sisterly advice you didn't know you needed and raw conversations you've always wanted.
Okay, having a moment. The look I just gave her. Having a moment.
I'm calling it the squashissance.
Great. I love it. You know, it's all in the pitch, and the squashissance is pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't know how Beyonce would feel about it, but we're just going to go with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so my pitch. There used to be in America kind of one squash. We were a bit of a one squash pony.
I like how this is starting with like a history lesson.
Butternut. Yes. Mm-hmm. Butternut. We were butternut squash. If you were having winter squash, and specifically, I'm sorry, I should start by saying I'm talking about winter squash.
Well, and are you talking specifically, you're talking about like orange and yellow
that's
squashes.
Okay.
Winter
okay.
Ones winter squashes are orange. Okay.
The summer squashes are the zucchini.
Green and yellow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I feel like a shift, and listen, there was always like kind of like acorn on the periphery, whatever, but like it was really butternut when we were talking about squash. If you got squash soup, you knew it was butternut squash soup.
Okay.
I feel like the shift really started happening when delicata squash became a thing, like 10-ish years ago, when people were like, wait, there's another squash.
And what is the difference between butternut and delicata? Delicata
delicata is like that long yellow one with the green stripes.
Okay.
So part of what became a thing is that it is a different shape. Mm-hmm. It is easier to cut. You don't have to peel it. I think technically, I don't think you have to peel butternut.
Okay.
I think the rules have changed. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like you can't wash cast iron with soap. Now you can, like whatever.
You can.
People
Nobody
say,
told me.
People say. I don't know. I still okay. don't. But butternut squash skin is tough and delicata skin is not. It's okay. The one that's like usually cut in like a half moon. Mm-hmm. So people were like, wait, there's another squash. And now there are all of these new squashes that have come out in the last couple of years. Honey nut.
How do you think Cheerios feels about this?
Wow. I had no idea. Yeah, you're right.
I was shocked that Cheerios didn't own the trademark to honey nut.
True, the word honey nut.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
What
that's
is
fair.
Honey nut if not a Cheerio?
No, that's...
Like, what is a honey nut? It's a Cheerio.
Yeah, that's true.
That's not a thing.
That's true.
And like, is this squash named after the flavor of...
Well,
Honey
okay.
Nut Cheerios.
The name, yeah, you know what, Claire? It's really unclear how it got its name because it's a cultivar bred from a butternut and a buttercup squash. So neither of those have honey in them, but honey is, I think honey is good marketing is what honey is.
I'm also interested in knowing more about the buttercup squash.
Yeah, I think the buttercup, okay, so two things. It is half the size of butternut and sweeter, and it also has just like more umami flavor, I would say.
Okay.
So Michael Masurek is responsible for this squash, and from his Wikipedia, As an associate professor in plant breeding and genetics at Cornell, Masurek had begun to breed a mini butternut squash, but was having trouble selling the new breed to seed companies. In 2009, he met Dan Barber at a meal at Blue Hill at Stone Barns. During a kitchen tour, Barber asked, "If you're such a good breeder, why don't you make this thing taste good? Why don't you shrink the thing?"
Meaning
the squash he was working on inventing.
Okay. I see. Yeah. Okay.
Working closely with Barber, Masurek began breeding the squash for flavor rather than yield, uncommon in the industry at the time. The resulting honey nut squash is more concentrated in flavor and was rapidly commercially successful.
Got it. Okay.
So this squash then led to another squash called Coconut, which is starting to take off. And now these are available through this, the seeds are available through this company called Row 7, which is like this chic seed company that is a collaboration between Dan Barber, the chef at Blue Hills Stone Barns, the plant breeder Michael Masurek, and a seedsman.
Seedsman.
Matthew Goldfarb.
It's weird that Seedsman is not like furniture maker, you know, like where it's like it should be like a romance novel trope.
Yeah.
We'll start seeing it show up now that the squashessence is finally reaching a fever
upon
pitch.
Us. Yes. Exactly. So the Coconut, for context, is creamy and it looks like a little pumpkin, basically.
Uh-huh.
So what has happened, if you ask me?
Yeah. Who else would I ask?
Who else would you ask? Is that Dan Barber became particularly interested in squashes. He had this squash wizard at his hands, Michael Masurek. And under this Row 7 company, they've been able to create these new squashes that are very popular, taste delicious, are smaller, easier to cut. I think that is like meaningful too. And because Dan Barber is who he is in the food world, they've been able to be adopted quickly through like cool restaurants. And then there's the trickle out of it all that we're embracing these things. Okay. So the thing I want to come back to is the like not as hard to cut of it all.
Okay.
Because I think that like a butternut is a huge pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. The like peeling it and the two different sizes of things to peel is really annoying. Yes. And then the cutting it and whatever. And it was making me think there was like some New York Times squash recipe that I came across not that long ago that basically involved cooking the whole squash without cutting it and then like cutting it and scooping it out. And there were commenters being like, you know, glasses up. Well, actually, it takes a lot less time if you like cut it first and whatever. And there were people in the comments who responded and were like, I'm an older person without good grip strength. Like cutting a squash is really fucking
hard.
It is
very hard.
And it's a deterrent. And like, no, leave this alone. Like give us some recipes that don't require that. You know,
I'm not even an old person with poor grip strength and I don't want to cut a squash.
No, exactly. It's like, calm down.
I buy my squash pre-cut.
Yeah, I understand the appeal of that.
Because, well, I also just don't cook with squash very often. I'm not.
Well, you have recently.
I do.
I found a squash recipe.
I found a squash recipe that I really
like. And guess
what
it is? Honey nut.
Yeah, I didn't use honey nut, but it is. I did note that. Yeah.
It made the name.
So I don't love a sweet vegetable that much.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm not a big orange vegetable person in general. But this... All the orange vegetables are sweet.
You're not wrong. I just hadn't thought about it.
But I was in one of those weird moods where you're craving all the stuff that you usually don't like. You ever have that? I've been eating cucumbers lately, too. I don't know what's gotten into me.
I have a suspicion you actually like cucumbers now.
Yeah, I was like craving them the other day.
I have a suspicion.
Well, this recipe has all the things that I don't like.
You're convinced you don't like.
Squash and chickpeas. Dry, like mealy bean. Why? But friends, this was so good. Okay, it's roasted honey nut squash and chickpeas with hot honey. It's Melissa Clark, and she rarely does wrong. It's a one pan meal. I just turned the heat up higher than she said, and I think broiled at the end, so everything got a little crispy.
Absolutely.
It is so good, and part of why it's so good is you put a mix of vinegar and honey on at the end, so you get this sweet and sour thing
going on. At the end.
Yeah.
I think the at the end is the answer for squash because two of the squash recipes that I really love have a sauce at the end.
Ooh.
So one is this soy glazed kabocha squash with Japanese sesame seasoning from this blog, Season with Spice. And it's like a mirin, soy sauce, sesame oil.
Okay, yeah.
Sauce that you dump the hot squash in and mix it. It's so good. And we've been making that a lot with just like over rice and then like a kale salad with like a miso mustard dressing.
This chickpea thing I also put over rice, which I think is key because some of the commenters were complaining about texture. And I'm like, well, if you add some rice, you'll get another texture.
Yeah, totally.
There,
totally. Know?
Anyway.
The second is a delicata squash agrodolce. It's an Athena Calderon article or recipe from Pure Wow. Mm-hmm. But it has that same, it has like the vinegary tang mm-hmm. sauce at the end. Yeah. And I think it just like the squash is porous enough that it all like soaks yes. in there. I think that is the trick maybe yeah. to liking squash.
Yeah. What's this acorn squash with coconut custard? Is that a dessert?
Somehow not. It's one of Thomas's favorite recipes.
Okay.
When he was living alone in Minneapolis, he would sometimes make this himself for dinner. Claire.
Wow. Okay.
What different cooking styles we have yeah. alone. So you basically, you split an acorn squash, you scoop out the insides, you roast it. And then when it comes out, you like let it cool. You fill that little, mm-hmm. that little bowl
yeah.
with this coconut custard. It's like a savory-ish coconut okay. custard. And then you put it back in the oven.
Mm.
And when it comes out, then you like slice it and you get like a wedge that mm-hmm. has the okay. filling. It's
and the filling stays firm?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's very chic.
Wow.
It's like okay. high presentation value
okay. All right.
recipe
that
for sure.
Good.
And like surprising, you know? Yeah.
I'm really hungry talking about
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I understand. Like this and like yeah. a protein is like
yeah.
a perfect.
Yeah, that yeah, sounds good.
A perfect meal. We have some book stuff to talk about.
We do have book stuff to talk about.
I found a new category of books.
Okay.
Not
so much a genre.
It's not a genre, I don't think. It's a category. Mm-hmm. It is a Get Ready With Me audiobook.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps counterintuitively, I have been liking listening to something longer in the morning when I start my day. Mm-hmm. Like something that has a longer duration, not that I'm listening to more mm-hmm. of it necessarily. I think in part because if it's like a 40-minute podcast, I feel sort of compelled to listen to the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if it's something that's like 9 hours, mm-hmm. there's none of that.
Yeah.
And also the fact that I have Spotify Premium and the audiobooks thing is happening
mm-hmm.
means that I can like dip into things mm-hmm. and try things and mm-hmm. whatever.
Right.
Which is all to say, I've been liking listening to something that is just like zen and mm. something that you can stop at any point. I don't want anything that's like high stress. Mm-hmm. I don't want there to be mm-hmm. a lot of plot.
Yeah.
I want it to be like a bit more like introspective mm-hmm. or something.
Yes.
So the two things that I have really enjoyed in this category are Tom Lake, the Ann Patchett book.
I'm going to listen to this.
I think it's like a little bit. I think what you'll like about it is that it's like a little gossipy is
ooh,
like the kind
okay.
of premise. So I don't think I really got what the premise was before I started listening to it. And Meryl Streep narrates it,
right.
which is like part of the sell. Part of what works about Meryl Streep narrating it is that the idea is it is a woman who is telling her like college age and grown daughters the story of this boy, a boyfriend she had
mm-hmm.
who is like now a big deal movie star, like a huge
okay.
star.
Okay.
And she was an actress very briefly mm-hmm. in Our Town.
Okay.
At like this Michigan theater.
I loved Our Town when I was
did
young.
You? I've
loved.
Never seen Our Town.
Oh my. I like read it multiple times, performed in it, did a very emo high school art project about it.
Oh, Claire, then this is like,
I had
you're
no
waiting
idea
for you.
Our Town figured into
oh,
this.
Oh, in a huge way. She's in multiple productions of Our Town. As Emily, she is like Emily.
In.
And basically her whole thing is that she's like, I wasn't a good actress. I was a good Emily.
Mm, okay.
It's just delightful. The other one that I'm listening to right now is You Could Make This Place Beautiful by Maggie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
You've probably encountered like every, mm-hmm. you know, that poem, Good
I
Bones.
Know, yeah.
yeah, you
mm-hmm.
know her.
Yeah.
And like she wrote, there's an essay of hers that was excerpted for the cut from this book called My Marriage Was Never the Same
After
That. I read
this too. That was sad, but not essay.
That's like, that's a bit how this book is. Mm-hmm. It is like about her going through a divorce and about her sort of like.
Right. So the book is about her divorce, because the divorce happened in the wake of that like her poetry career taking
yes.
off and that poem going viral. Okay.
Yes,
because
exactly.
right, her husband was clearly uncomfortable with her success.
Yes. And the sections of the book, the like, I don't, chapters feels like not the right word. Mm-hmm. They're not like, there are some poems woven mm-hmm. through, but it's mostly prose. So there are a ton of good stopping points,
oh,
which
good.
Is just like
yeah.
an enjoyable thing. Mm-hmm. You never feel like, wait, I have to wait and see what's going to happen. And this book is just like, it just feels like it encapsulates in so many ways the experience of being like in a partnership, a parent, like a creative person, whatever,
mm-hmm.
like at this moment in time. It's like specific, but also extremely universal.
It's a good sell.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a good sell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued. I hadn't been considering it.
It's not as, it again, it's like, parts of it are sad, but it's not like deeply traumatizing for first thing in the morning listening.
We have both been reading the Rebel Blue Ranch series by Lila Sage.
Cowboy love stories.
So these are these books. The first one is called Done and Dusted. The second one is called Swift and Saddled, and it's coming out in March.
We love them both.
They're delightful.
They're delightful. They are romance novels.
Yeah. Great titles and great covers, by the way.
And like the covers are a bit different. They have a sort of, they're illustrated, but they're kind of throwback illustration vibes.
They look like a classic comic book meets The Clinch. Like,
yeah, like a Western, like a classic Western illustration.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
It's the best kind of romance because it sets up a whole universe.
Yes.
Also the best kind of romance because it's steamy.
Yes.
Also the best kind of romance because it takes place in this very specific environment. So it deepens the escapist nature of reading a romance novel.
Exactly. So it takes place on a horse ranch or a cattle ranch, excuse me.
Yes, Rebel Blue Ranch in Meadowlark, Wyoming.
Meadowlark, so good.
Meadowlark. The Rebel Blue Ranch is run by the Ryder family. And it's delightful. I have to say, so I read the first one's Done and Dusted and then read the acknowledgments because you know I love the acknowledgments. And she thanks Tim Riggins in the acknowledgments basically for inspiring her. And I was like, oh, I wish I had realized when reading this that he was based on Tim Riggins because I would have enjoyed it a little bit more being able to picture him.
Yeah.
Which you and I were talking about this recently. Like the beauty of fan fiction is the beauty of being like having the character half illustrated for you already.
The
being able to lean
done.
In that. Yeah. And I would have, I liked it. I would have enjoyed it more knowing it was Tim Riggins. And then you, a long time Tim Riggins fan, I was like, I made sure you knew.
Like this.
Yes. Yeah, but yeah, I also wanted you to know before you read it.
I mean, I think part of, now that I'm thinking about these books, I'm like, I think part of the, this book, these this book's setting and vibe is a little bit like Gilmore Girls meets Friday Night Lights.
Very much so. Very
like,
much
it's
so.
It's small town, but like, Western culture.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think that like that is so fun and we should normalize consuming books like we consume TV and film and like lean into the fun of that.
I was so this inspired me to start researching Dude Ranch vacations, reading these books. Because I was like, maybe for my 40th birthday, I want like a sexy Dude Ranch vacation instead of a sexy beach vacation. Who knows? I mean, this is short-lived. We'll see where that spark of imagination goes. But I was texting a friend because she had gone to a Dude Ranch and she was like asking why I was asking. I explained to her and she was like, have you watched Yellowstone? And I said, no, not yet. And she said, I'm so jealous you like because I'm so sad it's over. And I was like, well, these books. And she's like, I'm purchasing right now because she was like, this is I need to scratch. There's no more Yellowstone for me. So I'm going to read this book instead.
Yes.
And I do think, maybe that's an answer. If you loved Yellowstone, where would you place the spice level out of 5 chili peppers?
3 and 8.
Yeah. It's not shy, but it's not like super kinky. I guess it depends on where your scale. I think, it depends
it's a
on
bit of
where
the scale. Everybody's scale is a little personal.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
But it's very, it's fun spice. The male main characters are funny in that they're exactly what you picture in a Western. They're all broad shouldered. They're all really good
not
at lassos.
Not breaking any boundaries in this
no,
way.
They're all gentlemen in their own way. And you know what? Sometimes that's fun and cozy.
No. But I have really enjoyed. I love knowing that it's going to be a series. And I love when you
know who else is getting together.
And, so basically in reading the first book, you already very much see two of the other books.
Yes.
Like you see, okay, these two characters are getting together and then these two characters.
Wait, which two other ones did you see? Because there's
Teddy. The second book. Yeah.
Well, but you don't see that one in the first. Oh, you like kind of know. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Come
yeah,
on,
yeah,
Claire.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And yeah, it's just, it's also nice because it's just not shy about being a romance in that way. It's sexy from the start. It's fun from the start. And it's like, we're going to do all these things and be kind of heavy handed about it.
Yeah.
We were also talking about that Bella Hadid feels so on trend because she's having a cowboy romance.
Yeah. It's like for how many years people have been like the cowboy aesthetic is happening. Yeah. And now it's like the cowboy love story is happening.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
Everybody wants a cowboy.
Yeah.
Okay. So in October of last year, Bella Hadid was photographed in Fort Worth, Texas, kissing and holding hands with a real life cowboy.
Real life.
He competes in rodeos, which is also what one of the FMCs in Rebel Blue.
Yeah.
At Rebel Blue Ranch does.
She does barrel racing.
Right. Back to the real life cowboy. Okay. Bella's cowboy is this guy, Aiden. I can't remember. Aiden Benuelos. From his website, Aiden specializes in training and showing cutting horses, excelling at the highest level. In addition to his own success, he continues to have top-level amateurs and non-pro riders within his program. At just 34 years old, Aiden has already amassed over $5 million in earnings aboard a horse. He is the future...
Aboard a horse. Okay, yeah.
Also, that number's really high. I wasn't expecting it. He is the future of the performance horse industry and a teacher to the younger generations of equine enthusiasts. So he's not just any cowboy, obviously, because... Not only he's Bella's cowboy one, and he's
a rich
millionaire
cowboy.
He's a rich cowboy.
Rhinestone cowboy, would you say, or no?
I hope so. My favorite thing in researching this was surfacing an article from the Dallas Observer titled "Bella Hadid is dating a Fort Worth cowboy. What that means for the rest of us." Why would you not read that?
What does it mean for the rest
well,
of us?
Well, that's what I was like. If you're going to give this article that headline, you better answer the question. And you know what, Erica? They did. They really stuck to the assignment. Whether intentionally or not, Bella Hadid has announced that the must-have accessory of the season is a cowboy on your arm. This could have varying consequences for people who live around here. First of all, Dallas was already declared a dating dumpster and the cheating capital of the nation in 2022. We cannot imagine that supermodels and influencers roaming the city in search of cowboy friends. They all one word, cowboy friends.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Roaming the city in search of cowboy friends would make that situation better. Overall, we're happy for Hadid and her new relationship. We may not know much about Bonuelos' personal life, but he has to be nicer and more normal than The Weeknd. We would just strongly encourage everyone in DFW to monitor any potential consequences. Outstanding journalism.
Wow. I guess I didn't expect a take on The Weeknd to show up.
Or for him to catch a stray,
right?
Really.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
That is what I mean.
It was incredible.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Now, to bring some actual research to this, could you recap your night at the rodeo?
Yeah, but I have to preface this by saying parts of this are going to be no further questions. So you have to prepare for that.
Okay.
Because I loved being able to have this cultural experience.
Okay.
It was a lot. It was like sensory overload and psychological overload,
okay,
I would say. And I'm still processing it.
Okay.
So I saw the rodeo, which is technically called the PBR Monster Energy Buck Off at Madison Square Garden. PBR stands for Professional Bull Riders.
How do you think Pabst Blue Ribbon feels about
Claire,
that?
Claire, for starters, this is exactly where I need to start. I cannot get past the fact that Pabst Blue Ribbon is not a sponsor of this event.
Yeah.
I cannot. Like, I can't.
But Monster Energy is.
Yes.
Okay.
During the pre-show, there was a lot of talk about, like, Madison Square Garden and how special it is and how special being in New York is. Absolutely fair. There was also a lot of talk about pizza. And being in New York. Yeah, no, I'm telling you, the whole thing was wild. I guess just buckle up. You know?
So is part of what you're sort of painting here that what you received was a Westerner's understanding of New York culture? Maybe, sure.
I don't know. I don't know what I received, honestly.
You're still processing.
I'm still processing.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the event, upon opening, it opened with a prayer.
Okay.
It opened with the national anthem.
Yeah.
And it opened with this like fire. There was like a fire ring, and then PBR was spelled out in the like dust with gasoline or something. During these opening moments, I thought a lot about the book Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk by Ben Fountain. Did you read that
No.
thing? It's really good. Mm-hmm. But basically, like, everything happening at the event just felt like commentary on America and like America, like at this moment. There was only one event at this particular competition, which was bull riding. So you didn't have like, there wasn't lassoing, there wasn't barrel racing, there wasn't whatever. So the premise is that you have to get on the bull, you have to stay on the bull for 8 seconds.
Okay.
If you get bucked before 8 seconds, then you're like, you don't get any points.
Okay.
At 8 seconds, then they like score you. 50% of the score comes from you. 50% of the score comes from the bull.
Is it your bull?
No. You get put on a bull. It's not a partnership. It's weird. I agree.
It's a group project, but you don't have any control over your
Like
group.
Most group projects, you don't choose your partner.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if the bull does really poorly, like and by poorly in this case, it means basically he doesn't give you a hard enough time and doesn't score high enough, you get a chance to do a re-ride.
Okay.
The scoring feels a lot to me as an uninformed observer, like figure skating, and that you're like, I don't understand how that person won by a hair. Like, I don't understand.
Is there any arguing with the scores?
No, no.
Okay.
It's just like, you wait, there's your score, and it's like, ah, he's in third place. And you're like, I don't know how that one was better than the other one.
But then there's not like a Bella Caroli going up and yelling at the judges and being like, that was so wrong.
No. Okay. On the Jumbotron, it projects, you know, there's a lot of storytelling around the bull riders themselves. Okay. And there's a lot of like, sort of like human interest story, right? Mm-hmm. That bulls are referred to as animal athletes.
They are.
They 100% are. My favorite bull's name was Snuggles. Incredible bull name. The bulls are not pictured on the Jumbotron.
Okay.
Which I found to be offensive.
Yeah.
Because if we're giving them 50% of the score, if we're calling them animal athletes, I would like a little bit more respect. However, there was an animal honored at the event. His name was, he was a dog. His name was Yoda. He was the bee cowboy of the night. He is a member of U.S. Border Control. U.S. Border Control is a sponsor of the event for the purposes of recruitment. I cannot answer any follow-up questions. He is the dog who caught the escaped Pennsylvania prisoner last year.
I know you told me that already, but I forgot about that. And it just really hits home because my parents live so close to that. And I was getting like very detailed updates constantly on that story. So I'm thrilled to be like one degree closer to the heroes who.
So who this German Shepherd that. Yoda looked shocked to be there. Downright shocked. I imagine being a dog in Madison Square Garden surrounded by bulls. Like imagine and being honored for something you did last summer.
You did gloss over something, Erica, and I know again it's like a no more questions. I just want you to bracket it. He was the honored as the bee cowboy of the night, and that's B-E.
Yeah,
the letter, the word, not the letter. And this was a theme of the evening. You told me, like so just that it's like about like it's like.
It's about honor. It's about respect. It's about helping others. It's like be cowboy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I just wanted people to
I think that
understand.
Was a perfect follow up. And I think thank you for respecting my feelings because it's taken me 3 weeks to talk about this in a real way.
Yeah. I did say, obviously, you've got to talk about this on the podcast.
Yeah. And last time I said no.
Yeah.
Or like, or at least I'm not ready. And here we are. There is a Women's Professional Rodeo Association, the WPRA, which is nice because it doesn't have a beer to contend with. And the main event is barrel racing, like Emmy
so
does.
Are you gonna go?
Well, if they come through town.
Okay.
You know?
So you enjoyed your experience enough.
I would be interested in seeing what this is like, I guess is what I'm saying. Okay. I want to comp.
Yeah. I understand. I, as discussed on a previous episode, went to the Hot Wheels Monster Jam.
Yeah.
Glow Party.
Yeah.
I, this coming weekend, will be attending an actual monster truck rally in New Jersey at the Prudential Center because I want to know what the grown-up version looks like.
Yeah, you want the real
thing.
You
want the full thing. I wouldn't say enjoyed the glow party.
No, but it's part of your, it's a part of your cultural survey.
It's, it's, you know, I want to, it's part of my discipline at this point, part of my academic discipline.
That's right.
And you should do the same with the women's rodeo.
Yeah.
This rodeo that you attended was featured in the New York Magazine Lookbook, which was wonderful. And a key takeaway was that they're starting a New York team of bull riders that has a home event in Brooklyn.
Incredible.
So I think we're going to get more rodeo culture in New York.
No, it really sounds like it. I loved that one of the people pictured in this lookbook was a woman named Sage Miller, but spelled like S-A-I-G-E. Mm-hmm. She looks very cool. She is from the Jersey Shore / Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. And the question was, so are you driving the bulls through Midtown? And she says, yeah, it's awful. I've been driving since probably 7 years old or old enough that I could reach the pedals. But this is totally different. I was like, wait, I'm sorry. We're just glossing over the fact that you've been driving since you were seven. That is a given. Okay.
Yeah.
You're driving in the city among people who don't understand anything about driving a truck and trailer. But that's not the worst part. The worst part is taking care of them in the cold. If the Done and Dusted series needs a new character.
Yeah. Oh, Sage Miller.
Sage Miller can drive straight to town. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, it's easy. She's right there.
I agree. My other takeaway was that from reading this lookbook, which had very colorful characters, the young men all spoke just like they do on Rebel Blue Ranch, like very respectfully using the word dang as their chosen expletive. And I was like, oh, they really do talk like that. Lila Sage got it right.
Got it right.
Yeah.
Nailed the dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about easy crafts, as you named it.
Easy crafts.
Easy crafts.
Not Kraft macaroni and cheese, the microwave kind.
Also, what's their easy version of that? It's called like Easy Mac.
Yeah, Easy Mac.
Yeah, this is not nearly as good.
No.
Okay, so, well, one, because it's winter and we all need non-messy indoor things to do.
Yeah, and, you know, more non-phone activities and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, this particular craft came to us from Lizzie Fortunato, which I feel like many good crafting projects do because she's a great crafter.
Well, she also just makes it all seem so like, why wouldn't you do this?
Yes.
In which is the right approach.
Yes. Well, and this feels like the ultimate why wouldn't you? So these are basically decorating picture frames. So Michaels sells 99-cent wooden frames, and some of them have scalloped edges that are especially cute. And then you just give them to the kid, and then you give the kid all the things. Paint, gem stickers, pom-poms, decoupage.
All the shit that they've gotten as toys from whatever that you don't want in your home.
They can put anything on there. And then it's the cutest gift to give to family and friends with a picture inside of you and the kid. It's so cute.
I love it.
It's very easy. It was fun for Cam. And paint aside and glue aside, it's pretty harmless.
What was Cam's approach to decorating?
Well, a lot of gem stickers. We had a big gem sticker holiday season in our house, and fuzzy palms. He was really into the gem stickers and fuzzy palms. He, when we started, I put out a little bit of each color of paint for him, and then I went into the kitchen to do something, and he had poured out like half of a paint bottle. So, spoiler, all of our frames are turquoise because I hate wasting things. And so I then just used up the rest of the turquoise paint as a base. So we did some decoupaging with some. He also was really into cutting paper. So he had cut a lot of stuff and we decoupaged some of it. But most of them are gem stickers, pom-poms, beads, and the like.
And turquoise.
You gave us a lot of good crafts. The one that has been a big hit for me personally is this beeswax candle kit.
Thomas was really jealous when he saw
it's
the beeswax
so good.
Kit.
And I would be like, too.
And I think maybe I have to get it for him.
I think I'm going to get another. So what it is, it's so simple. It's flat sheets of colored beeswax, and you can either just straight up roll them up to make a pillar candle, or they give you a pattern for how to cut a sheet on a diagonal so that you can make a tapered candle. And that alone is just pretty
delightful
and satisfying and relaxing. And you put, you know, you wrap it up with the wick inside. But what you can do is cut up little pieces and patterns and shapes out of the beeswax sheets and put them on the outside of your candles. And the beauty of this is that beeswax is sticky. So you don't need
any adhesive. To it. Yeah.
So
all
you need is scissors and these beeswax sheets and the wick. And it is so nice and relaxing. And you could do it while watching TV. And it's kind of easy to make something that looks good without being super precise about it.
Yeah. When buying Cam's holiday crafts, which was the theme this year, I tried to get him consumables.
Mm-hmm. That was like, nice of you.
Just because I was like, you don't need more junk in your house.
Yeah.
But these, like, he'll make a candle.
Yes.
You'll use the candle to go away.
Or we'll give a, you've got a candle coming your way.
Oh my God.
You have a frame coming your way also. Great.
Yeah, I do want to do this.
The other thing that I've wanted to try is doing fruit and vegetable prints, which is messy, which is part of why I haven't done it, but it feels worth it. You know, where you just paint the cross section of an apple or an orange, in part because Jason Pollan used to do really beautiful ones that I love. And
those.
I always think of him with those.
Something I saw recently via this cute little place in Brooklyn called Rec Create Collective that does like all these little craft workshops. And it looks very fun. And like I've been tempted to go multiple times. I need to pull up their actual schedule. But they were doing it with corn and not just like an ear of corn and painting the side and rolling it because it has that good texture.
Cool.
It was very cute. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like, I gotta set up a day to do this.
I know we've talked about collaging a fair amount, but the collage thing I encountered recently that I was very taken with is basically like collage journaling. So this woman, Martina Calvi, who is this Aussie, who is a self-described sentimental crafty girl, was the one who brought it to my attention. It's scrapbooking, right?
Yeah.
It's like hot girl scrapbooking, I would say. She sells very cute stickers that are like photorealistic, like bows and candles and apples and blah, blah, blah. But I was just thinking more about ephemera recently, in part because Thomas and I were going through these memento boxes for pulling things to think about framing for Framebridge. And I was thinking like, God, I just want to see this stuff more and not have it tucked away in a box. Mm-hmm. I also wanted it contextualized to be like, what else was like happening that around time. That time? Yeah. So it's not just like a ticket stub sitting there or a matchbook or whatever. And part of it, this feeling was just like the digital doldrums of it all, of being like, there aren't movie tickets. Right, there aren't like physical movie tickets. So when I do have these things, I kind of do want to do something with them. And so, yeah, I've been thinking about like, am I doing like a collage journal? Like,
this is like your, like, it'd be like an end of the month activity, like you do with your, I feel like you have a monthly cadence in your life for other things.
I would like more of one. Like,
I feel like you have one for your finances or something, don't you?
I used to be better at it. Yeah. But I do kind of like once a month.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like the idea of like collecting the stuff and doing like, a spread that's like, it's a 5-year journal, but it's like a spread for each month.
Yeah. Yeah. I did it the summer. The summer that I lived in Paris in college, and I found it the other day, and it was quite fun to look at, but I couldn't remember what half the things were.
Of course.
But it was still like cool to see. And yeah, it was a nice and a different way of remembering.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is only tangentially related in the sense that like, wow, this was so easy. Target has a house line of party decorations called Spritz. It is so good. I know it's not
you
new.
You did such a successful birthday decorating job.
Thank you. You FaceTimed Cam for his birthday. And I was like, before you speak to him, I must show you the decorations that rightfully. I put up. They sell these kits and they're just so well thought out. They look very Pinteresty. So it's like balloon arches and streamer backdrops and sometimes a balloon arch and a streamer backdrop that would make the perfect sort of like photo booth backdrop for your party. You do not need anything except what's in the bag. They're so clever with the twine and the sticky backing and a lanyard that has room for you to pull the like
the end of the
end of the knot of the balloon through. I couldn't believe how professional this thing I made looked. And it required, again, nothing except what was in the bag. Who would have thought I personally could make a balloon arch?
I would have thought, but I think
I would not have thought.
But not without like a ton of effort and time and whatever. I've watched a balloon arch come together. It's not easy.
I will say that a friend texted to say, did you have to blow up the balloons yourself? And I did. And I had my mother-in-law and Chris there to help me. And we were just chit-chatting. So it was like a fun, like stay up late and do this activity. But you might want to get one of those hand pumps if you're going to do it yourself.
For Thomas's birthday, because Thomas really does like a birthday decoration, our local neighborhood dollar store sold the like happy birthday metallic
Which I love.
Letters.
Yes.
And that little set, which I delightful, had one of those little straws to blow up the, because they're not.
Were they
like
metallic?
Vellum balloons?
Yes.
Yeah, so they're not helium.
Yes. Yeah. This came with that too, because some of the balloons in my balloon arch were that metallic, not whatever. Not,
it's
latex.
Not vellum. It's but it's, yeah.
I can't remember. There's a word for it.
Yeah.
So some of them came with that special little that thing too.
Or I agree. It's much the crinkle. The crinkle is satisfying.
And it's easier. You're not cutting off your circulation to tie it together.
Yeah.
And,
it doesn't hurt. Yeah. Your like I don't know your mouth.
It's just one of those things where I wasn't really planning on decorating, and then I found myself in the aisle at Target because I was in Minnesota, and. You're a Target.
Where else would you be?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, wow, from now on, when I think it's going to be too intimidating to decorate, I'm still going to decorate because these things are so easy.
I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, that's the show.
That's the show.
This has been a production of Dear Media, and we are so grateful to the talented team over there for helping us make this podcast happen, especially our wonderful producer, Olivia Mead. You can follow us on Instagram at @athingortwohq. If you have ideas for the show or want to advertise, email podcast@athingortwohq.com. Find show notes and sign up for our newsletter at athingortwohq.com. And if you love our show, you'll also want to join our Geneva. Lots of good chatter happening there.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.